Hi, I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Welcome back to another episode of Prairie Beat.
Yes, our weekly news podcast, or news journey, maybe you might want to call it, from the Prairie Public Newsroom. Danielle, what is the topic this week?
Honestly, a few things. We haven't done an episode like this for a while. This week, I thought we could zoom out a bit and highlight just a few stories that have been going on in the news in North Dakota.
Ooh, a mixed bag, a grab bag, if you will. Yeah. Sounds good to me, so let's hear it.
Okay, so first up, we're going to look at an issue I have a strong feeling will be a pretty big story this year in North Dakota: no-cost school meals. Now, Minnesota passed this 3 years ago, so it's been an issue that many North Dakotans have been paying attention to. In North Dakota's special legislative session earlier this year, lawmakers debated a bill that would offer a similar program here in North Dakota, but it was ultimately narrowly defeated in the state Senate. And it came before the legislature a couple of times before that as well and didn't go through.
The best things in life are free.
Well, yeah, the whole thought was if they voted this in, they would have control over the purse string and the actual legislation that came out regarding school lunches. But right now, it looks like the voters are going to decide in November. And yeah, just watching the chatter about it on social media, it was an issue that a lot of folks felt pretty strongly about one way or the other, but it's something a good amount of people support. I think it polls at something like 80% in favor.
Yeah. Now, before that special session ever even gaveled in, too, there was an effort to get school lunches paid for anyway. It's an initiative called Together for School Meals, and they have a website that you can check out, and you can see all the different entities and groups that have joined in the effort to get this passed. And they've been working to gather signatures for that initiated measure that they're hoping to get on the ballot this November that would actually amend North Dakota's constitution to require the state to pay for meals at school, both breakfast and lunch.
Every student should have access to breakfast and lunch at school, no questions asked.
Now that's Robin Nelson. She is the chair of Together for School Meals and has served on the Fargo School Board for quite a while. In order to get a constitutional amendment measure on the ballot, you have to collect at least 31,164 valid signatures. And organizers say they got about 57,000. So last week, they turned those into the Secretary of State's office for review.
They've kind of laid this out and have a game plan. So if indeed this passes, I think a lot of their legwork has already been completed.
I mentioned it probably takes a while to validate that many signatures, right?
Yeah, and they have 35 days to do it.
Well, with that many signatures, and I did see those volunteers out there a bit hustling for them, I'd say it's a pretty good possibility the issue will be before voters in November, and I'll be really interested to see exactly what the voters say on it, because amending the state's constitution is a very big deal, and a lot of folks support this issue, although you have to figure there's going to be some money coming in from maybe out of state to run ads possibly against it. So we'll see if opinion sways one way or the other. All right, so in our mixed bag, grab bag, what is up next?
All right, this week I talked to Abby Lang. She is Health Promotion Director at Fargo Cass Public Health, and we talked about a suicide prevention summit that was held this week in Fargo, yesterday, in fact.
We are a part of the Cass Clay Suicide Prevention Coalition. The coalition's been around for about 5 years, and so Fargo Cass has been active in that coalition the entire time. We are working together kind of on both sides of the river, really, to bring that awareness of suicide prevention.
Now, something about this summit I thought was pretty significant was the youth aspect of it. Suicide is actually the second leading cause of death for North Dakotans between the ages of 10 and 24. So that's a pretty big deal. And I was looking at the schedule of the summit, and I'd say about half of the topics were youth-centered. And Abby Lang told me they focus heavily on that as a way to reduce stigma, but also strengthen relationships between age groups.
I will never be able to know what it's like to be, you know, a teenager in this day and age. I'm 38, but I can do what I can of learning about the current landscape. And so we have, you know, counselors from schools, we have social workers, we have peer support, where we really want to help our youth learn healthy coping skills. So we want to equip our youth to be able to talk to each other. We want to equip our adults to be able to have those tough conversations, whether it be with their own child or someone else's child.
She told me this is the third summit they've had, and each year they've needed a larger venue. And it's free for anyone to attend, from professionals to just members of the community.
Well, I know one really good resource here in North Dakota for youth and adults alike is 988. That's the Suicide Prevention Hotline. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, it's been a pretty valuable resource around here.
Yes, it has. So you can call 988 24 hours a day, and the people who pick up the phone are actually folks with First Link right here in North Dakota. So they're your neighbors. They understand what it's like to live here and probably have a lot of context for what you might be going through living here in North Dakota. They also have a texting option as well, which I think is probably very attractive for young people. They can text ND4ME, that's the number 4, ND4ME, to 898-211, and they can directly connect to some help there.
Oh, that's very cool, very helpful, very important, Danielle. Thanks for that. Now, one question I have about a story in the headlines this week is something that is pretty close to my own backyard and my own heart. My daughter did go to a school in Horace, mm-hmm. North Dakota. It does not anymore. But still, when you get the text alert and you see it, like your heart just sinks, just drops to the floor. One of those alerts that you hope that you don't see, that there was a shooting incident outside one of the schools in the Horace district. But at the time of the first text alert, you didn't know whether the shooting was inside, outside, or what was going on. It just said that police directed all three Horace schools to lock down in response to an active community situation. That did say everybody is safe, though.
Yes. So this happened on Monday morning. And as you said, it was just outside. It was Heritage Middle School. And there's actually a pretty extensive expansion project going on there. And we haven't gotten too many specific details about what exactly happened, other than two employees of the construction company working on that expansion and knew each other had some sort of altercation that resulted in one man getting a non-life-threatening gunshot wound to his hand and the other man getting arrested. And it happened outside of the school. No teachers or students or anyone else associated with the schools were ever near what happened, but they were all locked down as a precaution until the suspect in question was arrested. He fled the scene initially, but he was apprehended, and he has since been identified as 40-year-old Garmanu Duger Wiles, and he is facing at least three different felony charges.
So I think there's been a little bit of confusion about this case, Danielle. I read a little bit today. There's an article in the Fargo Forum about some parents who were upset that they couldn't reach their kids during the lockdown because cell phones are now banned in school, and there isn't a lot being said about the altercation or even the arrest. I'm sure they're trying to get facts straight, but still, it's very unnerving as a parent not to know what's happening. The lockdown was lifted by lunchtime, so it all happened very fast before things returned to normal.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, it's a lot more will be probably coming to light after some more investigation is done, so we will have to be watching for that.
Well, I think another story you guys will be watching is this is a tough one, the baby Rebecca story out of Valley City.
Yes, that was another pretty heartbreaking story. So this starts back in 1981. A deceased newborn infant girl was found near Valley City State University, and it's been a pretty cold case this entire time. With all the advancements in DNA and genetic genealogy, lots of cases are finally getting resolved after decades of mystery, and this looks to be another one. Nancy Trottier, who was living in Arizona but had lived in Devil's Lake for more than 40 years, was arrested in connection with this case. She was connected through familial DNA. The baby's remains were exhumed in 2019, and in 2020, they were able to connect Trottier to the case. She was interviewed in 2021. She submitted a DNA sample, and that eventually linked both Trottier and her now husband to baby Rebecca. Nancy Trottier has been charged with murder, and her first appearance in court is supposed to be May 21st.
Actually, 45 years to the day. It's been a long road to justice for baby Rebecca.
So you heard North Dakota Attorney General Drew Wrigley there at the news conference about the arrest earlier this week. So far, has there been any charges or arrest for the biological father?
Not right now. But yeah, as you said, you know, we'll be following this story as well. The details will likely be unfolding over the next several months. More to come. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news, or check us out online at prairiepublic.org.
Oh, hey, you know, and we wouldn't be real radio/podcast people if we didn't remind you that today is tax day. So if you haven't filed those taxes yet, maybe get that taken care of or apply for that extension anyway. Been there, done that. Got to get that in there for sure. So thank you for joining us this week on Prairie Beat. Happy Tax Day. I'm Eric Deathridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.